So imagine your car. Eventually, it reaches the end of the road. What actually happens to it? Where does it go? And, how much of it truly finds a second life through reuse or recycling?
Yeah, I mean, we've had regulations for years, but there's this new proposal aiming for something much bigger. They're calling it making vehicles truly circular.
That's a huge shift, right? Not just dealing with the car after its life, but actually designing it for that end-of-life phase from the very start.
Exactly, making sure those materials, those components, they cycle back properly into the economy.
Okay, so let's dive into a really key perspective on this. Our source today is a presentation from a group, well, right on the front lines, the European Group of Automotive Recycling Associations, EGARA.
EGARA, right. And we're looking specifically at their position on this new circular vehicle regulation. This was presented by Hank Jan Nix at a conference in Warsaw just recently, May 22nd, 2025.
So our mission here is to really unpack EGARA's viewpoint. Who are they in this whole picture? What do they say is absolutely essential to make this regulation actually work?
And what are their big concerns? Their suggestions? Because they lay them out pretty clearly.
And the core idea, the thing they stress right from the get-go, is that getting the circular result, it takes performance and real collaboration from two main players.
Right, the authorized treatment facilities, the ATFs who handle the cars at the end.
And the original equipment manufacturers, the OEMs who actually build them.
It's definitely a two-sided coin, and EGAR is being very clear about what they need from their side, the ATF side.
Okay, so let's start with EGAR itself. Who are they? The presentation says, yeah, European Group of Automotive Recycling Associations established way back in 1991.
So they've been around, and they represent independent dismantler associations. Lots of countries listed: Denmark, UK, France, Poland, Netherlands, Estonia, Switzerland, Spain, Italy, Greece, Belgium, quite a few.
Independent dismantler associations, that's the key structure.
All right.
And their goals seem pretty straightforward: lobbying governments, the EC, stakeholders.
They want a level playing field across Europe for their members, and they share knowledge, exchange experience. Standard association stuff, but critical here.
And the presenter, Hank Jan Nix, he's got some serious background. Policy advisor for STIBA, that's the Dutch association, since 98.
Wow, yeah. Focusing on environmental, legal affairs, vehicle registration, all the nitty-gritty details.
And he's been the EGARA General Secretary since 2007, so decades of experience coming into this.
That context is important because his presentation really emphasizes the prominent role ATFs already play and the role they see themselves playing under this new regulation.
Right, the ATFs, they're the ones actually getting these end-of-life vehicles, the ELVs. They handle collection, acceptance, issuing that certificate of destruction, the CoD.
Which is crucial for getting the vehicle legally off the books.
Yeah.
And from that point, that ELV is treated as hazardous waste. Step one is always depollution.
Depollution. So
Yeah.
removing fluids, batteries, anything hazardous
Yeah,
safely.
exactly. Then comes the core work.
Yeah.
Dismantling, taking out materials for recycling.
And importantly, removing parts for direct reuse.
Yes, and they even identify and sell parts as core components for remanufacturing, where they get rebuilt.
The presentation also mentions they already handle specialized stuff, like trucks and motorcycles. It's not just cars.
Right, those have their own complexities.
Yeah.
So they're already doing a lot of the heavy lifting needed for this circular economy idea.
But, and this is a big but, in the presentation, they are crystal clear. For ATFs to actually succeed under this new regulation, certain conditions have to be met.
Yeah, this is where, the rubber meets the road. Implementation. First, they say no parts should be excluded from sale. If there's a market, they should be able to sell it. Period.
Makes sense. And this next one feels huge. Compensation is needed for removing materials that aren't profitable right now.
It really highlights a core tension, doesn't it? Circularity might mean grabbing stuff the market doesn't value yet.
So Igar's saying, look, if the rule says we have to take it out, someone's got to cover the cost.
Absolutely. And to do the job right, they need good information. What
Yeah.
materials, what parts are actually in the vehicle, they need to know what they're dealing with.
And another crucial condition. They need the complete vehicle, the ELV, and also the EELV's end-of-life electric vehicles.
That point about complete vehicles is so important because if others cherry-pick the valuable bits before it even gets to the ATF.
Then the ATF is left with the unprofitable stuff, maybe even the stuff that costs money to handle.
Exactly. It can make the whole process for that specific car uneconomical, undermines the whole system.
And vital for them, they need protection against illegals, operators not playing by the rules.
Because being legal, being an authorized ATF, comes with high cost. Compliance isn't cheap. They can't compete with businesses cutting corners on waste handling, permits, all that.
They need that level playing field you mentioned earlier.
Definitely. And finally, they state they must not be excluded from these collective or individual systems the regulation talks about. They want a seat at the table.
The presentation really hammers home that the proposal says what needs doing, but that's where these conditions really matter for success.
Let's zero in on parts reuse for a second, because EGAM makes a really strong case here. They're the ones doing the expert assessment of these used parts.
And it's not just casual swapping. They often already provide a one-year warranty. That shows real confidence.
And here's the environmental kicker. Using a recycled part saves up to 80% of the CO2 emissions compared to making a new one.
Wow, 80%. That's massive. That's straight from their presentation.
Huge win. And they also say it enlarges the footprint of existing cars. Basically, extends their useful life, gets more value out of the resources already used.
But, okay, challenges exist for this reuse market. They need that OEM information we talked about.
Critically, yeah. And parts shouldn't be digitally locked. You know, software preventing reuse outside the official network, that's a major barrier.
And again, they should be allowed to sell any part with a market. And no cherry picking. They need the whole car to make the economics work.
Exactly. That point keeps coming back. It's fundamental to their model.
Okay, shifting from parts to materials. The presentation notes a lot of material removal, like steel, aluminum. That already happens commercially. There's a market.
Sure, but vehicles are getting more complex. So even material removal is getting trickier. Again, reinforcing that need for good info on what's actually in there.
And this new regulation, it's expected to mandate more material removal, maybe stuff that isn't traditionally recovered because it wasn't valuable enough.
Which leads to a really pointed question they pose. Will this demand for recycled content actually create a new viable market for these materials? Or will it just be a cost?
Good question. And consistent with the parts argument, they stress the need for compensation again, especially for materials mandated for removal but lacking a strong market.
It all ties back to economics and who pays. This brings us neatly to enforcement, which EGAR sees as absolutely critical.
They need that level playing field. Their legal status costs money, and they feel they can't really protect themselves against unfair competition from, well, the illegal operators.
And while they say enforcement is ultimately up to the authorities,
they offer a critique, right? They feel visiting compliant ATFs maybe once every 10 years, that's just not enough.
Yeah, their suggestion is pretty clear. Focus enforcement on the illegals. Go visit them.
Yeah.
Target dismantling as an illegal activity, not just check up on the registered guys trying to do the right thing.
It's about shifting the focus, isn't it? From policing the compliant to tackling the non-compliant.
Precisely. Which they argue is necessary to make the whole legal route viable.
So looking at the new obligations in the regulation, this core idea that vehicles must be circular and these specific recycled content targets for the OEMs, EGARA positions ATFs as, well, essential partners.
They argue they're already set up to produce clean streams of recyclable materials. They can separate efficiently at the source, organize the volumes needed.
And they believe they can do it at the lowest cost, provided their methods remain effective. It's almost a pitch to the OEMs. We can help you meet your targets efficiently.
And they say it explicitly. We'll be happy to cooperate with the OEMs.
Okay, now the presentation gets into something a bit sensitive. They call it the cartel discussion.
Ah, yes. They mentioned being interviewed by antitrust authorities 3 years before this presentation.
And they state they knew the OEM position on the value or maybe the lack of value of an ELV.
And they express disappointment about this cartel situation they refer to. They stress, look, we've always been cooperative, always offered our services to meet goals.
They also point out that compensation systems do already exist in some countries, so it's handled differently across Europe.
And they observe that OEMs seem to behave differently regarding ELVs, depending on the country. Interesting variation there.
Now, regarding potential legal claims from this, EGARA, as an organization, says they are not planning any.
But, and this is crucial, they explicitly state they don't rule out individual members pursuing claims. Each member's situation is different, they say. We're just reporting their stated position here.
Understood. Okay, moving to a key mechanism in the regulation. These producer responsibility organizations, or PROs.
Right, these are meant to handle producer obligations. Like ensuring that compensation for end-of-life processing actually happens.
And producers get a choice. Set up their own individual system or join a collective one.
EGAR has conditions for joining these, naturally. They note the proposal isn't very specific yet on participation criteria.
So they're asking for basically no high barriers to entry, clear objective conditions.
And critically, any ATF meeting those conditions should be able to join. No ATF excluded. And OEMs should not be the ones picking and choosing participants.
They also raise a specific flag about individual PRO systems. They worry it'll mean more admin burden.
And they pose a key question. Could individual systems lead to restrictions, like refusing certain ELVs? Could that leave some cars stranded with nowhere to go for proper treatment?
That's a serious concern about ensuring universal access, isn't it?
Definitely, regardless of the car's make or perceived end-of-life value.
So let's try and pull together EGAR's overall view from this presentation. They see the proposal as a good and necessary update to the old ELV directive.
Yeah, a good attempt at real circularity in the sector.
And they state very clearly, ATFs are ready. They're equipped for the new obligations.
But, and it's a significant but, conditions apply. Those things we've talked about, info, compensation, level playing field, access, they're essential.
So based on those conditions and concerns, they would like to see some changes made to the final proposal.
Understandable. They also acknowledge, look, not everything is perfectly clear yet. That's normal with new regs.
But they definitely get the sense the European Commission is serious about this. This is happening.
Which means how it gets implemented, those details, that's going to shape the whole future of vehicle recycling in Europe.
Okay, so wrapping this deep dive. We've seen the goal, a circular vehicle, is, well, it's complicated on the ground. From the recycler's perspective, the ATFs via EGARA, it demands specific conditions.
Information flow, fair compensation for necessary but maybe unprofitable tasks, real enforcement against the rule breakers.
And genuine, structured collaboration with the car makers, the OEMs. It's not something they can do alone.
It really lays bare the practical nuts and bolts economic realities that have to be sorted out for this vision of circularity to actually work.
So thinking about this from your perspective, maybe looking at your own car or your next one, given this need for collaboration and these challenges the recyclers are highlighting about a car's end-of-life value, how might this fundamentally change things?
Yeah, not just how cars are designed and built, but maybe even how you decide which car to buy in the first place, something to chew on